It is a duty not of justice, save in extreme cases, but of Christian charity, a duty not enforced by human law. But the laws and judgments of men must yield place to the laws and judgments of Christ, the true God, who in many ways urges on his followers the practice of almsgiving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And who will count a kindness done or refused to the poor as done or refused to himself? As long as you did it to one of my least brethren, you did it to me. In regard to the language to be met with in communist papers to the effect that a poorer man employed by a wealthier man is necessarily exploited by the latter, it must always be borne in mind that communists deny that there is a moral right to private property. Anyone who claims to own a farm is necessarily an exploiter. A man working for the state is not exploited, for he is working for himself, to use Rousseau's language, and all are equally God. Of course, we know that in reality, he would be working for and exploited by the wire pullers of the Communist Party. Private property, thus, stands in the way of man's attaining the communist Garden of Eden here below. In opposition to communist attacks on the iniquitous wage system, the two principles laid down by Pope Pius XI in the encyclical letter Quadragesimo Anno must be recalled. Quote, the immense number of propertyless wage earners, on the one hand, and the superabundant riches of the fortunate few on the other, is an unanswerable argument that the earthly goods so abundantly produced in this age of industrialism are far from rightly distributed and equitably shared among the various classes of men. Those who hold that the wage contract is essentially unjust are certainly in error. End of quote. Finally, it may be well to say a word about the communist use of the words of St. Paul, quote, if any man will not work, neither let him eat. After having, in the encyclical letter Quadragesimo Anno, spoken of the unjust claims of capital and the unjust claims of labor, Pope Pius XI goes on to say, quote, to prevent erroneous doctrines of this kind from blocking the path of justice and peace, the advocates of these opinions should have hearkened to the wise words of our predecessor. The earth, even though a portion amongst private owners, ceases not thereby to minister to the needs of all. This teaching we ourselves have reaffirmed above when we wrote that the division of goods which is effected by private ownership is ordained by nature itself and has for its purpose that created things may minister to man's needs in an orderly and stable fashion. These principles must be constantly borne in mind if we would not wander from the path of truth. By these principles of social justice, one class is forbidden to exclude the other from a share in the profits. This sacred law is violated by an irresponsible wealthy class who, in the excess of their good fortune, deem it a just state of things that they should receive everything and the labor nothing. It is violated also by a propertyless wage-earning class who demand for themselves all the fruits of production as being the work of their hands. Such men, vehemently incensed against the violation of justice by capitalists, go too far in vindicating the one right of which they are conscious. They attack and seek to abolish all forms of ownership and all profits not obtained by labor, whatever be their nature or significance in human society, for the sole reason that they are not acquired by toil. In this connection, it must be noted that the appeal made by some to the words of the apostle, if any man will not work, neither let him eat, is as inept as it is unfounded. The apostle is here passing judgment on those who refuse to work, though they could and ought to do so. He admonishes us to use diligently our time and our powers of body and mind, and not to become burdensome to others as long as we are able to provide for ourselves. In no sense does he teach that labor is the sole title which gives a right to a living or to profits. End of quote.